Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Wednesday is scheduled release day in the NFL.
I can't wait for that, man. And reading some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, Josh, that is going on right now with the schedule release, this Aaron Rodgers thing has people all in a tizzy at the national offices. Peter King had a little blurb about it today. Some stuff over the weekend about it. People just don't know how to set the schedule.
He's hijacked the schedule.
He really has. No, he has. And that's not an exaggeration, nope. Because is he going to stay in Green Bay, number one? I think the odds say probably not, right? Number two,
I don't know. These feel like to me that they heat up big time and then they calm back down and then it's fine. I don't know. I still think it's like 50-50. I don't think it's he's never going back there. I never
right.
believe that that's
the case. You don't
think
that's the case. Okay. So you think he's kicking and screaming until he gets his way?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're this was what, draft night, the Thursday night?
Yeah, we're going on 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on. It feels like he screamed and then we're like, okay, now we've calmed down. All right, cool.
Right.
We're good.
Well, he's calmed down a little bit, but his people still continue to talk in front of everybody and say.
So I'm not, although tomorrow could be different.
Right.
But today
could be different.
Right.
Though.
But today I'm not. Well, he's never going back.
Right.
Tomorrow maybe he's never going back. But right now it's not. So, yeah, he's a Packer at the moment.
Right, he is. And so the schedule release folks or the league, I guess there was a conference call. I don't want to say it was over the weekend, but it may have been Thursday or Friday. One of the executives at the NFL tweeted out there were like 110 people on the scheduling conference call.
That sounds terrible.
And somebody on Twitter responded, of course, you know, in kind of a jerky way. It takes that many people to come up with a schedule. And the guy's like, well, when you have TV executives and, you know, team executives and like everybody involved that make. Yes, it does. It takes that many people
to
come up with the schedule.
It feels like it makes it difficult, though.
It's
I
not like a
them.
Screw it in a light bulb.
No, it's just not. It's just not. Major League
Baseball.
It's a very
difficult thing.
Major League Baseball back in the day used to have a husband and wife do the schedule. And that was it. These two people sat around.
What?
Yes. Look it up. They had a husband and wife do the schedule. Every year for like 100 years, it was like they just did the schedule.
It was, their thing.
It was like that's what they did, right?
Baseball.
And so,
who wants
football,
to do the scheduling? You two,
well, yeah,
all right, go.
Sally
you got
and
it.
Steve Smith out in
Take
Lewiston.
It.
Go ahead, go enjoy yourself. Make the schedule.
Were
we'll
they just
back
like a
here.
Random couple?
It was. They had no affiliation with baseball. They just did the schedule. Somehow they got it. You know how it is. Like, why was Majestic the official team provider for everybody for clothing for all those years when he had, I don't know, Nike available, right? And so they had this old couple with like a pencil. Like I remember seeing like they were doing like with a pencil. Maybe they moved up to a whiteboard by the time it was all, you know, said and done. But they made
into a new millennium.
Yeah, they made the schedule for all those years. But football's a different beast because you've got so many different entities wanting to have so many different games and now you've got this Aaron Rodgers thing out here that nobody knows what's going to happen. Do you schedule?
You got messed up, Aaron.
Do you schedule the Chiefs and Packers on Sunday night of opening weekend, or does that lose all its buzz if Aaron Rodgers is in Denver? Do you schedule Chiefs and Denver on these big Sunday night stages, or does he stay in Green Bay? And so, you know, there is some flex scheduling that's obviously allowed in the NFL. But the other thing that's really different now this year in the NFL, I don't know if you guys knew this one. I saw this today in Peter King's column. The 17th game, week 18, that's a wild card week for the NFL, which means there are no TV requirements for that week of games. It is a no-holds-bar, schedule the games wherever you want, no TV loyalties where the AFC has to be on CBS and the NFC has to be on Fox. It is a free-for-all, and they're going to have two Saturday night games, one Sunday night game. They're not going to determine who plays on Saturday night and Sunday until the Monday before, so you're going to have ticked-off NFL coaches if they have to play on Saturday of that week. But that week is wide open as well. So there's so much up in the air with the schedule thing, and then here comes Aaron Rodgers going, I'll take scheduling for 200, please, Roger. And they're like, oh, God. So now we got to get around this because the Packers with Jordan Love just aren't as sexy as the Packers are with Aaron Rodgers. And so now they're sitting there going, God, we got to get this thing out on Wednesday. We just don't know what to do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, Chiefs-Packers, you just feel like at this point, you put it in some kind of flex week, right?
Yeah, right? Like weeks 11 to 17.
And you put in a flex week, and then if it's a noon, it's a noon. If Rodgers is there and you still want it, you got a later in the season primetime game.
Right, yeah.
And then one of the Broncos games is going to get primetime. I think it always does, though.
It always does, but you just
make sure that's the case in case he goes there.
Right.
Kind of one of those deals. Right. And it'll have some shine because it's a division game anyway. So I think there are some ways around. Now, this is from the Chiefs perspective of the schedule. From the Packers perspective, yeah. I mean, what? where do you place them? Because
right.
You don't want, you know, early season. You probably don't want early season or late season if he's not there,
mm-hmm,
right? But
mm-hmm.
You're going to probably slide them into some of those windows. So it's interesting because he's kind of keeping – and I can't imagine – I mean, they're sitting there, as you mentioned, that the however many people that are on that conference call, and they have various iterations of the schedule, and they got to – like, is there an Aaron – if Aaron Rodgers,
I would imagine, right?
Like complete whole scenario
yeah.
of how it affects everything else that's in hand right now in case they get something done by Wednesday.
Right, yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Boy, we got to change the whole thing up. So, yeah, I don't want to be the schedule makers now because what you come up with is probably going to end up changing.
I don't want to be a schedule maker for like a local rec league, let alone this.
Oh,
this
the rec league. I'd rather do the NFL. Well, I don't know. Who do you have more complaints from, the parents or do you have more complaints from the owners, right? The
owners and television executives that wield money and power? That wouldn't be fun either.
Yeah, or parents.
So that whole thing is kind of a mess. So that comes out on Wednesday. So we're just giving you something to look forward to.
That's right.
Because we'll know the Chiefs' entire schedule, dates and times for the most part.
Yeah, you'll know your primetime games. You can plan your trips.
Wednesday.
So all that kind of stuff. Road game to Las Vegas this year. All kinds of stuff.
Be
get
good.
Back out in the wild, baby.
And then I saw NFL Network,
mm-hmm.
FS1,
uh-huh.
and I think ESPN are all doing something.
They're all doing something.
I believe
Wow. All of them. Is ABC carrying something?
I don't know if ABC is carrying because Fox isn't. I don't know what they have on there. They probably have the Masked Singer or something. So it got bumped to FS1.
But, right.
I'm like, wow, there's multiple networks doing this. And this is just like an NFL network, you know, puts up a couple graphics and does an hour. And we go, ooh.
No, God, no. This is probably going to be a 2-hour ordeal.
Now I think everybody's in on it, which is crazy.
I really want the behind the scenes stories, though, where they have the executives come on and say, yeah, everything looked like it was going to be pretty set. And then the Wednesday before the draft, Aaron Rodgers threw us all into a kerfuffle here. And we had to decide, you know, what we were going to do, how we were going to do it. I just like to see the behind the scenes stuff on how they decide who's getting the primetime games, how they value these teams. I would imagine right now the Chiefs and Tampa, obviously the two Super Bowl teams, and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes right now, those are the teams that every network is clamoring for to get on their air as much as they possibly can. And I think there's a limit in primetime games, if I'm not mistaken, Josh, like 5, I think each team is allowed to have max of a primetime schedule. And so you got to kind of divvy it up a little bit. But I'm sure the executives at NBC want Tom Brady as many times as they can possibly get him, and they want Patrick Mahomes as many times as they possibly can get him, because those are the two big drawing cards
and
right now.
Yes, I want to know if an NBC exec has slugged a CBS exec,
right.
CBS has offered young Sheldon over to Fox for
for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, for a Patrick Mahomes game. I want to know all that stuff that has to go
Bob
down.
Bob Hart's Abishola for a Patrick Mahomes game to be
right,
named later.
Right. Yeah. I want to know all of those things that happen. I need the behind the scenes
mm-hmm.
of it all. So Wednesday night.
Yes.
Why am I telling you Wednesday night? Because we need something to look forward to.
That's right.
Because it ain't this baseball team right about now. 8 straight losses now for the Royals. An 0-for-7 homestand?
Yeah.
In which they barely scratched out any runs? I mean, yesterday, got a run for the double play, a fielder's choice, and a sac fly. Wow. This was gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
This homestand was hard to watch, if you watched it, if you listened. And then the worst fears that we were talking about on Friday, my worst fears were a dud series over the weekend where people were doing other things and started to waver on you. And now Monday hits and you have an off day and a road trip and you're in some trouble.
Right.
You're in third in the division.
You're under 500.
You're under 500. And everybody's going, well, is this it? Was that it? Was April fun?
Right. April was fun. May has sucked. May has sucked.
And
there's no other way to put it.
And now can you get back in the mix? Or is this the beginning of the end?
Yeah.
It's a difficult spot to be in already on May the 10th.
It really is. And I'll be honest with everybody. I consumed about four innings total this weekend of Royals baseball. Friday night, man, we played Monopoly. I hung out with the kids, did some things, had the game on, but passively watching what was going on.
It was on in the background Friday.
Right.
By the time I tuned in Saturday, Lynch had already given up his inning.
Yeah, I tuned in at
6:25. It was a 6:10 game.
Right.
Tuned in at 6:25, and they were getting blasted already. And I'm like, yep. I'm out. Mm-hmm. I'm not watching this. And then yesterday, the three early runs from Mike Minor, and I'm like, I got other stuff to do.
Yeah,
I'll keep it on, but I got other stuff to do.
Yep.
That's dangerous.
It is, and it's dangerous for guys like us who are fans. I mean, you think about the diehards versus this casual fan. The casual fan checked out this weekend. There's no question about that. The casual fan was out.
And then Ryan and I went. We were both at Thursday's game.
Yeah.
Separately, and if there weren't beer there, I would have nothing to write home Thursday about. You know what I mean?
Correct.
I'm hanging on, man.
Right.
Barely hanging on.
I got in the car and on Saturday, right after our soccer game. And we're driving. It's right at the beginning of the game. And I hear, Ryan say, now the voice of the Royals, Denny Matthews. And before I knew it, it was 2-0 on the music. And then yesterday happened as well. Got the first run. All right, you're feeling pretty good. And immediately gave it right back with three. And, this team went 30 innings or whatever it was without scoring a run. I mean, or 28, 29 innings, whatever it was, without scoring a run. That's three full games plus without scoring a run. And they went like 31 straight innings without having a lead. It's tough to say, all right, they're going to fight back because in my opinion, guys, and I've been covering this team basically on a daily basis since 2001, this was the most disappointing homestand I've ever seen the Royals have. And the reason I say that is because there's been bad teams before, but you knew they were going to be bad.
And bad homestands, sure.
And there's been bad homestands before, but you knew the teams were going to be bad. You knew it was going to be bad. This is different because when spring training started to where we were going into this homestand was all about winning. The message was, we're here to win. It's not about developing. It's all about winning. It's all about winning. Okay, great. Then they get off to a really nice start. They capture everybody in April. It's all about winning. It's all about winning. May hits. They have a homestand against division rivals, teams that they have to beat that we've been talking about since last year of teams that you have to beat. And they go out there and they lay an egg. And so when you couple the message at the beginning of the year was all about winning, the promising start, then a homestand against two of your division rivals that you're battling with to say that you've arrived, and not having a lot of youngsters on the team that need to learn how to play the game at the big league level, yeah, it's the most disappointing homestand I've seen since 2001, since I started covering this team.
And Tony La Russa gave us a little pat on the head yesterday.
They're on their way up. Got a lot to deal with. I mean, young man pitched yesterday. He's going to be solid. And I mean, you saw a couple of guys that have bullpen. If they had the lead, I mean, they're really tough to score on. They got good team speed. I know Mike and a couple of coaches there. They're in a funk right now. And it just happens to everybody. Hope we can avoid it.
Can you get out of the funk?
Don't patronize us, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. I mean, they lost yesterday. Text my buddy. Are they going to get over 500 again this season? I'm like, oh, boy. We're there already?
Yeah.
And I responded back. I'm like, I'd like to say in the Detroit series,
but,
but I'm not positive.
You've got three against Detroit. You have to sweep these. Do you have to sweep the Tigers?
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to sweep the Tigers. You go up and lose a game to the Tigers, that's not acceptable either.
We'll hear from Dayton Moore on a losing homestand, and maybe we should flip the food spread next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
It's a results-oriented business, and we want to see the positive results, but we also make sure that we're continuing to talk to the guys when they do have the hard hit outs. That, listen, that's what you can control. It's a really good approach. The bigger picture is the results at the end of the game. And our guys are wanting to get things done so bad just because they know how we need to get on a good streak. In the individual results are always going to be there. It's hard just taking a great at-bat, but you ended up with an 0 for today. It's just the reality of the business. But I mean, if you look through, as I'm counting, we had a number of guys who squared some balls up without anything to show for today. So we're going to continue to tell them the truth. And the truth is, you know, stay the course with hard hit, and that's going to play out over the long haul.
The hard hit thing in baseball is the worst thing ever.
Mike Matheny after the tough luck game, and homestand, and hard hit balls.
I enjoyed the
8 days of tough luck.
I enjoyed the write up on Royals.com yesterday. The final paragraph of the article said the Royals had a hard hit ball rate, but fans don't care about that.
Yes,
they don't.
True.
They don't. But you know who does care about that? Agents care about that because they think that's what gets their clients paid is having, well, they're hitting the ball hard. Well, so what? They're not getting hits. And if you're not getting hits, I don't care.
Look at his barrel percentage.
And I don't discount it either from a manager's perspective because you got to say, guys, you're hitting the ball hard.
Yeah,
like,
Yeah.
You're hitting it hard. You're close.
From that perspective,
you're
fine.
Close. I got to use this as positive motivation for you. But yeah, the rest of us can go.
Yeah, whatever. We're not hanging our hats on that. Like, you don't feel better today.
Well,
they
lost 9-3, but they squared up 16 balls that normally would have. No, can't
do that. Can't sell that. Can't sell that to your fan base. You can sell that inside the clubhouse. You can sell that to your players, and that's fine. I heard Mike Minor mention hard hit rate yesterday. I just roll my eyes at this stuff. We've gotten so bogged down in minutia in Major League Baseball that we're losing games, and we're going, but they hit the ball hard. Who cares? What was Babe Ruth's hard hit rate? I mean, like, I just get so tired of this nonsensical stuff that people want to hang their hats on in baseball. How about manufacturing a couple of runs, hitting behind the runner, situational hitting, you know, like stuff that actually matters, because in my opinion, hard hit rate matters as much as me farting, okay? It doesn't.
Don't know how to segue out of that. Dayton Moore on the losing homestand. Yeah, they went 0-7 on this homestand.
You got to win in your division. I mean, you got to beat the teams in your division if you want to win the Central. And so that's our goal, and we've got to do a better job. You know, the Cleveland series was very disappointing. We had the lead in three of those games, won a 4-0 lead, I believe, with six outs to go. And you know, our bullpen's been really, really good at finishing out games. And, you know, we didn't do some things that we needed to do and execute pitches and make some plays. And you know, when those types of things happen, you're going to lose. It doesn't matter who you play. And, you know, I don't look at necessarily, you know, here come the Indians or here come the White Sox. And, you know, psychologically, you know, mentally, it's a hurdle because we haven't had a lot of success against those two teams over the last few years. But I don't look at it that way. I just look at it, you know, if you're going to win a Major League Baseball game, you've got to do a lot of things well. And, you know, this week has been a bad week for us. The previous 2 weeks, I think, you know, obviously, we're really, really good. And we were winning some games, some close games, and doing some things late and executing in ways that were putting us in a position to ultimately win those games. And this week's been the opposite. And it's the answers lie within our players. It's their ability to execute and to make plays and, you know, to be ready to take advantage of situations. And it doesn't matter who you play, whether, you know, the umpire's not an excuse, you know, who you play isn't an excuse. I mean, you just got to go out and play the game that you know you play so well, and have confidence in your teammate, have confidence in the team, and we can go out there and put ourselves in a position to win. And we just got to get back to doing that.
Disappointed dad Dayton Moore there yesterday before the game, right?
Right.
On his weekly chat with Ryan Lefever.
I'll disagree with him a little bit. Angel Hernandez does affect the game.
Okay. You can't let it.
But he does.
Winning games against the division. I mean, how important did we discuss that last year and how bad it was?
Yeah.
And the White Sox, I mean, if they want to put up memes and mock, they own you.
Right.
They own you. They own Kauffman Stadium right now. It's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the White Sox do whatever they want. Like, all the stats are so skewed in favor of the White Sox over the last stretch. It's embarrassing.
It really is. It's to the point of you've got to find a way to end this thing, right? You've got to do something to change things up. And it's not just the White Sox. It's the last eight games that this team, you know, has lost in the seven straight on the homestand. I mean, you're coming off a really good road swing, right? You got the fans behind your back, and you come out to Kauffman Stadium, and fans are feeling really good about this team as we start May. And not only do you drop seven straight games, you drop seven straight games to a divisional opponent at home, and you didn't look good in any of them.
And they all race past you in the standings.
Right. Everybody's right past you in the standings. You go from having a first place lead last week at this time to now being in third place behind two
three
teams.
Three and a half back.
You've lost four and a half games over four games, I guess you could say, over the last, you know, week or so in the standings. And you heard Matheny say it was a results-oriented business. Dayton talked about getting the results as well. And I'm not here to say fire the hitting coach or hitting coaches or anything like that. But today's a day off, and you're coming off, in my opinion, the most disappointing homestand in 20 years for this organization. You've got to send a message somehow, some way, that the last eight games are not acceptable. Now, I don't know what that is. I mean, I lean towards getting rid of Wade Davis because that's a move that you could easily do and truly not part with somebody. That's a valuable asset to your team right now. But it also sends a message that this guy was part of our World Series championship team. He's not getting the job done. Here's the door. See yourself out. That could happen to anybody inside that locker room. I just think a shakeup at some level is important right now, but I don't exactly know what that is because I don't see them getting rid of Soler, who, I mean, couldn't hit a curveball. Hunter Dozier's in
Soler,
a bad way
Soler
right now.
Soler and Dozier are, yeah, you can't do anything with them, but I wish you could. Like, sit him down, something.
Right.
Emotion, something. Something to really light a fire. I really thought Dozier got off the fast start. He's hitting like a 150 or something.
Yeah, right.
Through a month and a half. Like,
right.
Ugh. But though they're kind of, I want to say untouchable per se, but kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
I feel like when you blast at the hitting coach, it feels like
that's grasping for straws.
It feels
at this
like
point.
That's a you got to find somebody to blame when it's the players that aren't hitting and aren't
correct.
Responding. Is it the approach that they're not taking? I don't know. And I feel like when you get rid of the hitting coach, it's like symbolic as much as anything.
Right.
And I don't know if the players ultimately feel responsible for somebody losing their job.
Right, right. Exactly. Do they care enough? I doubt it. I mean, does that jumpstart anybody? I don't think it ever does. I don't think you ever see a hitting coach get fired or a pitching coach get fired and everything just gets fixed all of a sudden, you know, overnight. But there has to be something, Josh. So that's why I come back to Wade Davis. It's not a huge move. It's not one that's really going to matter when it comes to winning and losing ball games. But I think from a symbolic level, I think it could be a message that gets sent. Go, wow, that guy was one of the best closers in baseball, and we just got rid of him. We all better shape up, or we could potentially be next. I mean, like if you're an opposing team, why are you even throwing a fastball to Jorge Soler? I do nothing but breaking pitches. He swings at everything.
Oh,
in the dirt.
It's Serrano-esque right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it I really mean, is. God, I mean, swing and a miss. Swing
just
and a miss.
Low in the zone with some
and that's
drop
where
to
it is, right?
And it's over.
It is low and outside, and he is whiffing, man. The whiff on Soler. Like, I mean, it is, like, unbelievably bad. Like, just lay off the pitch, man. Make them throw you a fastball. Do not swing at a break. He's not even close to it. You know, Dozier's not close to doing anything, you know, right now. Poor Salvi's hitting .274 and leading the team in batting average right now. Like, they're hitting has been anemic, but I still maintain the way you get back and try to jumpstart this offense, in my opinion, is doing those little things, getting a guy on base, stealing second, bunting him over, you know, the small things to try to jumpstart this offense, because right now it feels like we're waiting for somebody to come up with the big hit. And that's just not coming. There are other ways we can go about doing it. And I believe that these guys are team-oriented, that if you ask them to bunt and hit behind the runner, they're going to go ahead and do it because we saw it in April. They're capable of doing it. And so maybe that's what has to happen. But I'm not going to sit here and advocate, well, the hitting coach needs to go, because I just don't believe that's a fix for anything
yeah,
at any level.
I do feel like it's somewhere on the offensive side. And I don't know if you can have an addition that would help out. And you move one of these guys to the bench, although, you know, if they're not playing in games. Do you get any better? One of those deals.
Sure.
But I feel like it has to come from the offensive side. Like, cutting Wade Davis
right.
makes sense because he's not very good.
Right.
But you can replace a bullpen thing. I don't know if that had the message. I want some of the offensive side because they need to wake up
uh-huh.
or this team's really sunk.
Right.
I'll deal with the bullpen stuff later.
But who do you go with? That's my biggest thing, Josh. I'm like, who do you cut?
I deal with the bullpen stuff later if they're still in it. You know what I mean? Like, I could do some things to tweak that. But I feel like they need an offensive jumpstart somehow, some way.
I mean, the Angels did cut Albert Pujols, so it's not, you know, out of the realm of cutting a future Hall of Famer or something like that if the guy's not getting the job done. If they decided to cut Jorge Soler today and just cut bait with him, I don't. You mentioned it in an email. You wouldn't have FOMO on this one.
No. I'm not fearful of, he's going to be a 50 home run guy. No, I don't think he is. But I don't know that. Does that send a strong enough message? I don't know. I mean, I know he'd get a gig right away. And so maybe that would be just like, well, why are we doing this? He's going to play for somebody else now.
Right.
Why couldn't we try with him here? So I don't know if that's got it or if there's a call up that can happen. I feel like something's got to happen to this offense because it's tough to watch.
It is. It's very hard to watch.
We'll shout it out. 913-576-7610. Get him in now on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. And Rogers is messing with all of us. Next.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Get him in now on the text line, 913-576-7610. Grand opening underway at the all-new FNBO location, just off Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. While you're there, look for the Ultimate Fan Display and text in the keyword. It'll give you a chance to win the Ultimate Baseball Fan Prize Pack, which includes four tickets to see the boys in blue against the Redbirds, mini baseball tailgate grill, and a $50 gift card for supplies at your local Price Chopper, and a $250 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. So check it out. It's the Ultimate Fan Display. It is up at the FNBO location, just off Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. And look for that text in, a keyword. So I guess the latest on Aaron Rodgers comes from Adam Schefter.
ESPN. I don't know who it came from, but it was somebody on ESPN saying he may not want to be a Packer anymore.
Okay. Which is almost to this, it has to come from him saying this. It's at this point, right?
Well, like, I don't know if it was breaking news or it was just ESPN rolling out a different voice than they had last week saying the same thing.
No, I don't know. I don't even know that it was.
I mean, it was up there.
Real quick, this according to ESPN, I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's coming back to the Packers.
Oh, is that what ESPN is reporting this morning?
That's right. Yeah. ESPN is reporting that this
morning.
They
were all over that this morning. Big, 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 big graphic on the screen.
They're citing Schefter, who hasn't tweeted about it this morning at all.
Aaron Rodgers may not want to be a member of the Packers. Huh. I'd not heard that.
He may have the morning off. He hasn't done anything yet.
Wow. Schefter's not tweeting? Somebody send a wellness check to him like we do with Binkley every once in a while? My goodness. We're almost like
fine, by the way.
On the East Coast. We're almost 8 hours into the day, and he hasn't tweeted yet?
He's been retweeting a couple of things, but he hasn't tweeted anything himself since May 7th.
Oh, my God. 3 days?
Unless they had a week. They gave him the weekend off.
Gave him Mother's Day weekend off. Even if they did, do you think Schefter's taking the weekend off?
He's still retweeting. So yeah, it's just like he's off from producing his own tweets.
Adam Schefter doesn't have a mother. He was born in a pod.
He was created. But an indication that things are a little bit weird, schedule release day is Wednesday, and the NFL's been really promoting that hard, and part of the promotion included Rodgers versus Mahomes. It was of their commercial.
Hyping
the schedule release. Now the commercial, though, has been changed. Have you noticed? Does not have Rodgers.
It's not in it anymore.
It has Jackson versus Mahomes.
I saw that the other day on NFL Network. I'm like, wait a second here. A couple of days ago, they were promoting Rodgers versus Mahomes.
Now it's Lamar Jackson against Patrick Mahomes.
And now it's but even if Rodgers does get traded to the Broncos, we're still going to get twice as many Rodgers Mahomes as we would have had.
I guess the NFL
if he stayed with the
is
Packers.
Not convinced it's going to be an AFC West team.
Okay, well maybe not
because he could potentially get moved to a team that's not on their schedule.
Right.
So they don't want to guarantee it. I guess
they don't want to guarantee.
But they've taken that out of their 30-second commercial and inputted Jackson versus Mahomes.
Because we know that's going to happen. Barring injury or something like that, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes will meet for, the third or fourth consecutive season now, and that's still a fun regular season game. I mean,
it's a dynamic duo right there, those guys, man.
I think it's good because the Ravens just can't stand the Chiefs. It's like they're the strut child when you take away their phone and they go to the center of the room and flop around because they got to take on the Chiefs, and then they get beat and they don't win. And so I'm good with them promoting that game because the Chiefs definitely have the Ravens' number. So that should be a lot of fun whenever they decide to schedule that game. And that should probably be a primetime game as well.
Yes. Now who the Chiefs end up with on opening night, I really thought for a while it was going to be the Packers. I think it would be the Broncos if you could guarantee Aaron Rodgers would be there. Mm-hmm. Start with the division game with some juice. Feels like a Sunday nighter,
right?
But we don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he's going to go there or not. So all the options are still out there, and Aaron Rodgers is really messing with the entire NFL schedule at this point, which he probably likes too.
He probably enjoys it because secretly everything's always all about him, and this makes it even more about him, and he's probably on the set of Jeopardy right now, you know, getting very excited that the whole league is basically being held up because of his want to get out of Green Bay.
Who said God's not a Packers fan?
I don't know. Nobody. So if
he's arguing either side of that.
If you believe in conspiracies or what have you, he's no longer part of the commercial, which may put into question whether or not we'll see Rodgers versus Mahomes. Of course, he could sit out too, right?
So. Could, yeah. Could or not play this year. Yeah.
He could just sit out, so we're not even guaranteeing that game at this point. So we'll find out on Wednesday night. The matchups, we might not know the Aaron Rodgers resolution by then around the NFL. Let's shout it out, 913-576-7610, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com. Mention 610, save 10%. And don't forget to use those guys to move your boat this summer. ESPN just tweeted out, and I think the reason they're talking about it is because the news came out over the weekend that the Browns are not interested in Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
They're good with the 30th best completion percentage quarterback in Baker Mayfield going forward,
but
instead of the MVP.
Must also now say that they are not interested in Aaron Rodgers.
And keep that news cycle going. The NFL is brilliant. It's just so good.
Is it now? 785 says the seasoning on Dots pretzels is like crack, and we all know how good crack is.
Well, I don't. But I know the seasoning on Dots pretzels is so good. And I don't know if you noticed this, but like Rolled Gold came out with their answer to Dots pretzels.
Oh.
I didn't realize how expensive this stuff was, right? My
dots
daughter,
are expensive.
Yeah, it's like $12, $13 for a big bag of these things, right?
Ooh, that's a big bag.
And then the rolled gold has a small bag. They're $6, but they are good. Ooh. I'm going to tell you, they call them like a buttery flavor. But
oh, that Kraft pretzel they put out?
Yeah.
It's got the nice bag.
It's in a matte finish bag.
Yeah,
I got
the buffalo one.
How were those?
They were zesty.
Yeah.
They were zesty.
The butter ones were really good.
So
they're about 2 minutes.
Take the Dots bag, kind of watch, and then put the old golds and no one would notice?
No, they would definitely notice.
Okay.
Yeah, there's...
There's one pretzel snob in our family right now.
Who is that?
The daughter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She does not eat anything but dots?
Nope.
One that doesn't know how to dip in cheese. But
She's going
to be a pretzel snob.
But she's going to be a pretzel. Let me ask you guys this. I'm going to throw this out there. Maybe somebody on the text line can help me. We were at D-Bats last week for the batting cages there in I guess, Lenexa, right? And right next door, there's
D's Bats?
Yeah.
D's Bats?
Got him! There's a store or an office building or something right next to that place, and it's Dots Pretzels. Like, are they made in Lenexa? I thought they were a Wisconsin thing that we got at Menards. Are Dots a local deal, or do they just have a local office because we eat the hell out of them?
There's no place you could look that up. I know that.
So sure. I just saw this, like, Dots office building in Lenexa. I'm like, huh. I wonder if they're making pretzels, and do you have free samples? Because if they have free samples at that
Not
Dots place in
Lenexa,
I'm in there, man.
Like, I think the free sample is very underutilized.
Well, it's with Corona now and in these unprecedented times.
It was underutilized before that. It was Costco and Panda Express.
Hickory Farms.
But the Hickory Farms booth only shows up during the holidays.
The Hickory Farms was the original free sample place. And you got a lady in an apron out there serving. You look like your
Just
grandma.
Just don't get enough free samples. That's all I'm saying.
And you get the strawberry candies at Hickory
Farm. So exciting. 785 says, I listen to Friday's podcast. Thanks, Billy, for reminding me how gross Ryan is. Is this about the finger smelling thing?
Yes.
It's not that I do it like to enjoy it.
All right, it's making me sick. Just move on to the next conversation.
More
about Dots Pretzels, please.
I don't know how.
Less about you.
You've never done this.
More on Dots Pretzels.
We're a family-owned business. It's a proud member of the Pride of Dakota brand.
Uh-huh.
With bakeries located in North Dakota, Arizona, and Kansas.
Okay, so there you go.
Okay, fresh ones. You think we can get some off the line?
I don't know. Maybe we should go down there one day after the show and say, hey, where are the fresh pretzels?
You think they'd let us work the line?
I think that would be a lot of fun. Like, I Love Lucy.
Laverne and Shirley.
Have a real Laverne and Shirley thing going on.
Be awesome.
Or a Patrick Mahomes thing working the line at the beer factory out in Colorado. I don't know if you saw that the other day.
816. Oh, this is from our guy Bacon Slaw. Find jalapeno and honey powders and add them to your barbecue seasonings. Thank me later.
Jalapeno and what? Did he say honey?
And honey powders.
Honey powders. I never heard of honey in a powder.
I have honey granules that I've been using.
Honey grams.
I've eaten raw honey from that Messner's Bee Farm over, I think it's on 350 Highway over there, right? Have you had Messner's honey?
I've not.
Oh, it's local.
Sounds lovely, though.
It's very good. Keeps the allergies away, they say, if you eat, like, you know, 18 pounds of it over the course of 17 years.
Some honey shots?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
That's why Winnie the Pooh didn't have allergies.
Right.
Oh, bother.
Oh, bother. Oh, where are you? What was the guy's name? The kid that he played with all the time?
Christopher Robin.
That's it. Oh, bother, Christopher Robin. Give me a bucket of honey.
No allergies, though.
Yeah, you're right. Winnie the Pooh never had allergies.
I didn't see a bitch about it one time. 785, do you guys know Cody?
You know what? Oh, Christopher Robin, seasonal allergies.
Yeah, you never heard him complain about it.
Oh, do you have my Claritin?
Even Eeyore, who complains about everything, never had allergies.
Well, I should eat more honey, Pooh. My seasonal allergies are really getting the best of me.
785 says, you guys know Cody uses a 6'10 status to cut lines everywhere he goes. He's Don't You Know Who I Am guy.
No, I would imagine if anybody at the station is Don't You Know Who I Am guy, it is Cody. There's no question. And it's by a long shot.
I mean, I've never, like, witnessed him
and
try to
And the answer is no.
You know
nobody
who
knows
I am.
Who you are. What an embarrassing thing to do. And I'm being serious about that.
Is that true?
That's embarrassing.
I don't think that's true. I've gone out with Cody a lot. He's never used that line.
But if anybody was going to do it, it'd be him.
And
Alex would be next.
This, let us know.
Yeah, let us know where you witnessed Cody doing this.
We want to know this stuff.
Don't you know who I am? Oh, my God. What are you,
Oh, my
Marusa?
Goodness. 816 says they can get us dots. Like, they got a plug
they
on.
Gotta, they got to get the number. Call them in the break. Right? And I'm being serious about that. Or tell that guy who's got the who's got the dots hookup.
He says he works there.
Oh, well,
let's just open up this right, text well, conversation. Yeah, let's, we're gonna,
we need more on this.
Don't you know who we are? It's a dots.
I'm willing to pay.
I want to make this Laverne and Shirley thing
happen.
Yeah,
I want to get down there and work
Doing
the line.
It our way.
I'll even take
our
the...
Our way. Yes, our way. Making our dreams come true. Working the pretzel line.
I'll even take the ones that aren't good enough to, you know.
Yeah, the ones that don't make it in, like that fall out. I'll take the scraps.
Wait, they say dots have cheese curls?
What?
The 620 claims it.
I have not seen that. We need to get our tails over to dots. I know exactly where it is, too. I just happened to stumble upon it.
913 says you guys are way better than the other Kansas City radio sports station.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Tell a friend.
My mom thinks so, too. Yeah. Somebody really wants the old man bit from Tony La Russa.
Oh, God, yes. Play
for
that.
About seven times.
Did he talk about the Royals after the game yesterday? Do we have his comments?
Yeah,
what he said after
the
game?
Let me pull him up. Yeah, here's Tony La Russa on the Royals after the game.
I haven't seen the fans or the media been this pessimistic since 1964.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's dead on.
I don't even know who that gentleman is.
Or care, really.
He covers the Red Sox.
Was that Josh?
Josh, you know that guy. He started the same time you did, didn't he?
He was giving me my first fedora with the press thing on the front of it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
no,
that's, yeah.
First pack of Lucky Strikes.
It's an A. Champ, champ, champ.
And a typewriter.
Get on down to that clubhouse.
Get on down to that locker room. You ask him the tough questions.
More from Tony La Russa after the game.
The biggest thrill I ever got came in a game against the Athletics in 1907. I was only 20 years old then, not quite 21. And it looked as if this game meant the pennant.
Oh, that gentleman just said 1907.
Yes, that's right. That's how you know somebody's old. Back in my day, 1907.
I got plenty of these for days.
What else did Tony say after the game?
Let me see. More from LaRue. Here we go.
Everybody talked about Feller's fastball, but he had a tremendous curve. Of course, he had a fastball, too. He broke the machine in Washington. The Army scientists come out with a machine, and he threw it through the machine, and the ball broke the machine at 108 miles an hour.
I'm sorry, are you talking about Bob Feller?
Feller. He thought Feller pitched yesterday? Did he say anything else?
Is this during a rain delay? That will do it for today's edition of Shout It Out. Text line remains
more La Russa?
Open for you. No, we'll get to that.
No, throughout the show, we got a lot of La Russa from yesterday's game.
913-576-7610. Text line remains open for you. Oh, yeah, we'll still do more La Russa. That's fine. Also, St. Joe is open for business. Hey, that's good news.
Let's
next.
Go.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Schefter's. I was worried there. He's tweeting again, so it's good.
Oh, Schefter's up now?
Yeah, former Dallas defensive tackle Antoine Woods waived last week's visit to the Colts today.
You got to get that out there. You got to get that one
out
there.
He's back.
Thank God you woke up from a three-day non-tweeting slumber to tweet about who?
Antoine Woods.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. So.
Icky's brother?
I'm sure.
James's brother?
Yes.
Yeah. Any other famous Woods? Wasn't there a Natalie? Tiger, yeah. It's true. Tiger's brother.
Natalie
Woods.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. My friend Garrett Wood.
Bush Woods.
Bush Woods, yeah. Garrett, wake up!
This comes in from the NFL that we're going to get to go to St. Joe. Or the Chiefs are, anyway.
Maybe. Right?
The NFL teams are permitted to resume off-site training camps. The league informed clubs in a memo.
This was a Friday news dump.
That's what they have to do. They inform them via memo.
Oh, it's memo central, Josh. The memos that are getting passed back and forth right now from the league to the players are just outstanding.
So they need to submit a plan detailing on how they're going to follow COVID protocols. And then it needs to be approved by the medical people at the NFL, much like they had to do last year at their own facilities.
Uh-huh.
Right? So you're kind of doing that. So The interesting part of this, so we heard from Clark Hunt last week. He joined the drive here on 610 Sports Radio. Very optimistic they could go to St. Joe. They wanted to go there, hoping the fans could still do it. Blah, blah. They were holding out that they were going to be able to still go to St. Joe. This clears the way for that, pending approval by the medical people, which I don't think is, would be a problem.
Right.
Another part of this memo, though, is really interesting. This is from the ESPN report. Friday's memo also provided details on permissible interaction among players and coaches during in-person portions of off-season training programs. Vaccinated staff members will be allowed to interact away from the facility with other vaccinated staff members.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. So they're now saying you can go to dinner with each other.
Right. Okay. And players can interact with other players.
Okay, cool.
But coaches and players will not be permitted to interact with each other anywhere except at team facilities.
Oh, my God. Did the players claim this is a victory,
too? The memo
too?
Attributed that decision to the NFLPA, who thinks they've won something. They are so stupid.
They really are. The NFLPA gets had, man, all the time.
You got to keep your people away from our people.
Okay.
When we're not on, I don't want this, I don't want anybody, my guy's not doing anything extra outside the building.
That's right.
That includes going to dinner. That includes, I don't know, a coach attending my guy's charity event. Ain't happening.
Right.
You keep those dirty coaches away from our players.
All right. What if they run into each other at Price Chopper? Is all hell going to break loose?
We recognize that clubs would like to organize social and charitable events with both players and staff present, and we've approached the NFL Players Association in an effort to permit these types of activities. However, they have not agreed to remove the prohibition.
Okay.
We'll continue to press the union to provide clubs and players with additional flexibility in this area. So the NFLPA, flexing its muscles, thinks it's won something from the league by saying, you know what? Coaches can't go to our events.
That's right.
And they can't even talk to my guys outside the practice facility.
God forbid you make eye contact with a player that's not on team facility ground. Oh, boy.
They won.
Good job. This is one where the players think they won, right? And one of the last events we did before, you know, COVID hit was Tyrann Mathieu's Celebrity Waiter Night at the West. It was a great event. Had all of his teammates there waiting tables and doing all that stuff. But you know who else was there? Mark Donovan and Steve Spagnuolo were both there, right? The president of the Chiefs and the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs to support Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah. Are you telling me now the NFLPA is so dug
under
in?
This memo, under this memo,
they can't go and do that and support their players at these events.
That's correct.
That doesn't make any sense. That's a good thing to have the president of your organization and the defensive coordinator there supporting a player who's doing good work in the community and trying to put on a really cool event to raise money, to bring awareness, to do great things. And now the NFLPA is saying, we're going to shut that down, and they feel like they've won something out of this, which to me, again, the NFL owners must just sit around behind closed doors and just laugh at Demaurice Smith and the Players Association for the way that they're going about doing their business. Because in my opinion, right now, they're basically taking candy from a baby in every single negotiation that's taking place right now with the NFLPA and everybody involved with the NFLPA. The owners are legitimately giving up nothing. The players feel like they're getting something in return. And the owners at the end of the day, Josh, win. They win. They win every negotiation. They win going away. And I still don't understand how the players can look at Demaurice Smith and say, you know what, this guy's doing a great job for us. We're really, really finding a way to take this union, to take this association to the next level. We're really getting things accomplished when at the end of the day they've got, you don't have to work out here, but if you get hurt, you're not going to get your $20 million, and coaches can't go and support the players now at charity events.
Yeah, it seems like you won. You won something.
What did they win?
I don't know. I don't know.
But do they feel good about this?
I guess the
Players Association right now, it's embarrassing on how bad they are getting just taken by the NFL owners. Every time something like this comes out, you look at it and you go, what? The players allowed this to happen and allowed this to go through?
Don't even look in their direction once they're out of the facility.
Don't make eye contact with us. Okay, fine. Whatever. You guys want no eye contact outside of the facility? Fine.
17th game.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. How can we get back at them?
Yeah, no eye contact with us. And if you're in the cereal aisle when I'm there, you better get over to the tomato sauce aisle real fast.
I know we could really stick it to them. We're going to tell Spags he can't go to some charity event.
It's really going to anger
the NFL.
You know what we can't do? Have our coaches and our front office staff support our players. because the players didn't want it. This is from the league.
According to the NFLPA.
Can't wait to see what today's memo is about.
You know what really, I know we got to play the 17th game. I would really prefer not to have my position group coach at my event.
Yeah.
Could you guys do something about this? Why, sure we can.
Yeah, sure.
We will bar them from going. No one asked for that.
That's what you want?
Nobody asked
for
that.
Okay, fine. 17th game, no coaches at charity event. Fine. So write a check. Don't show.
Nice try. Nice try.
Classic.
We have controversy. We have cheating in sports going on again. Did you catch this?
Oh, of course. It's sports. Cheating goes on at every level of sports.
In case you missed it, and I did, which isn't a complete surprise, based on Risket for the Brisket back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
The Kentucky Derby ran not too long ago,
yeah,
right?
That last Saturday. Yeah. I watched the whole race. I couldn't tell you right now who won the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, I missed the big hats.
You did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mint juleps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a wild mint julep.
They had
fan.
A bugle and everything, and then they were
They sang bugles? My old Kentucky home.
Were they back to like drunk kids trying to run over the porta potties again or not?
It was a little tamer this year. There was only like 50,000 people out there this year instead of the 100,000. They really had the infield full of people.
Aaron Rodgers was there.
He was there.
You know that.
He went as Turd Ferguson.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF, HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. But there's controversy now as the winner of the race was doped.
That's right.
And Bob Baffert, the trainer, is now in some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It says he did not inject any horse tranquilizers into a horse.
I got a call from Jimmy Barnes. I was headed to the airport, and... I got some horrible news.
He's always headed to the airport when I get a call.
That he's just been been served by the Kentucky Race Commission that Medina Spirit, our Derby horse, had been tested positive for 21 picograms of betamethasone.
No way.
And all I can tell you is that betamethasone, even though it's an allowed drug, therapeutic medication, we did not give it. My veterinarian, nobody here. Matter of fact, Medina Spirit has never been treated with betamethasone.
Mm. Oh wow! Oh my!
Medina Spirit adamantly denies having picograms of something.
Medina Spirit sounds like a cocktail or a cigarette. I'll have a Medina Spirit, please.
How much is a picogram anyway?
I don't know. I never heard that term before. That must be a small dose. Yeah.
Bob, the victim here.
We're going to do a complete, our own investigation.
Uh-oh.
We're going to be transparent.
I knew
it. The commission, like we've always been. We're going to show everything. One thing about it, in California, everything is documented every day, what the horses get. This horse was never treated with that. And he's a great horse. He doesn't deserve this.
No.
He ran a gallant race.
He's got feelings.
And... to me, I just feel, like this last 18 months, what I've gone through, and it's just like...
Are you going
to
cry?
It's like all of us right here. You just imagine yourselves going to work every day, and if they tested you every day for these levels, these contamination levels, and they told you...
Well, I would hope I didn't have horse stuff in me.
You were going to be fired. That's the way I feel. I do not feel safe. To train, it's getting worse to me. Going forward, how do I enjoy? To train, how do I, move forward from this?
Leave Baffert alone.
God,
how am I supposed to train my? How am I supposed
to
do?
How am I supposed to move forward in life? I'll tell you this right now. Odyssey came in here corporate and tested me for horse steroids. I think I'd be okay, Bob.
I'd be fine.
I think I'd pass that
test.
Don't
test me for anything else.
Yeah, I think I would be okay.
Horse steroids, I'm fine.
If you're gonna test me for whatever that was every day, I think I'd be okay. I
missed this at the beginning. Is this horse's name Medina?
Yes. Yeah. Medina Spirit.
Medina.
This where it got the name?
Must have been.
This Tone Loc's horse?
Yeah.
That's how it's prancing.
This brother told me a secret. Put a little Medina in your glass, and the girls will come real quick.
Can we get Medina Spirit's comments on this? As the horse commented,
let's see if I can find some Medina Spirit's comments.
Did we get the horse to weigh in on this yet? When he
began to beg, and then he... Where's Tone Loc doing?
I don't know.
He used to scratch and bite me before he was much, much meaner.
Yesterday, I got the biggest gut punch in racing for something that I didn't do. And this is really, it's disturbing. It's an injustice to the horse. I feel like, you know, here you win a race, and you're still not, to me, the I don't know what's going on in racing right now, but there's something not right. And I don't feel embarrassed. I feel like I was wronged.
Why? He was wronged. You know, people are like, it's horse racing. Who cares? But it's not horse racing. This is sports in a nutshell right now in America, in the world, right? As the money has gotten bigger, as the dollars have gotten bigger, as the purses have gotten bigger, as the contracts have gotten bigger, cheating continues to be an issue that we're all going to deal with in every single sport. As long as the dollars are there, and as long as the money is huge, and as long as the money is large, athletes both of the human brand and of the horse brand are going to find ways to cheat in order to get their salaries up, in order to cash in on the big contracts, in order to win the big time races so they can get the big time purses and do what everybody in this world wants to do, make a lot of money early in their lives so they can disappear, go away, and retire and not have to worry about things ever again. And so while it is an incident that we're talking about with the Kentucky Derby, this is happening in every single sport that you watch. Cheating is part of the game. I've talked to players over the years about not necessarily cheating per se, but winning and all of that kind of stuff. I've had Major League Baseball players tell me, one in particular, wishes he would have done steroids. He would have made a lot more money. Wishes he would have cheated because it would have led to more money and set his family up for generations. I've had an NFL player tell me, it's about the money. That's all it's really about. And if you win along the way, that's fantastic as well. Guys, gals, horses, whatever it is in sports, are going to do whatever they possibly can to make as much money as they possibly can in the shortest amount of time that they possibly can. So this isn't a horse racing issue. All across professional, collegiate, high-level sports, cheating is going on everywhere you look. College recruiting, you know, all of that stuff, man. There are bad guys everywhere. There are dudes on the streets doing things you don't even know about when it comes to collegiate recruiting. So at every level, every step of the way, people are cheating. And the reason they're cheating their ass off is because there's so much money out there that can be made if they can find a way to basically get rich quick, hit it and quit it and be done, find a way to make that money as quickly as they possibly can. Guys, gals, horses, everybody, they're willing to do whatever they can to make that big payday. And until the big payday stops, the cheating's not going to stop. So just enjoy it. It's entertainment.
Bob Baffert alleges that the sport's out to get him. Well,
no, it's not.
He's one of the few
it's
names.
The only person you know.
That's right. That's my point.
Who else do you know in horse racing?
Why would the sport be out to get him?
Seabiscuit still a thing?
No. Like one of the few household names.
Yeah.
What is Seabiscuit doing?
Not out to get you. So he's out to get you in a sport? Absolutely not. Next week, next Monday, is a big day for us. Our master bath renovation officially kicks off, and we are so excited about that, especially based on the work that Aspire Kitchen and Bath did for our kitchen in installing the new countertops and sink and taking care of another bathroom in our home. We can't wait for our new master bath to get started. A couple of months ago, we talked to the guys over at Aspire Kitchen and Bath, and we said, we want you guys to do our bathroom. We want you guys to take our master bathroom from ugh to something that is a master bath of our dreams. We've seen the work, the renderings, all that kind of stuff, and now the work is going to start a week from today, and we are thrilled about it. And I knew I was going to go with Aspire Kitchen and Bath right away because Dave and Lori are the owners, and I've known them for over a decade. I know the way that they do business. I know the way that they treat people, and I know the way that they run their company. They're not going to have any high-pressure sales tactics. They're not going to play games with pricing, and once they start the job, they're going to keep working on it until it's completed with no unnecessary work stoppages or delays. And so if you want the best company in the business in your home doing your master bath or your kitchen, then schedule your hassle-free, low-key, in-home estimate today with Aspire Kitchen and Bath. 816-566-5256. 816-566-5256. Or check them out at AspireKitchenAndBath.com.
Aspire Kitchen and Bath. Your home will thank you.
Tough homestand for the Royals. They go 0-7.
Kind of. That's, for me, the time where I know it's time to get guys together. And you know, we did that last night. And I just said, all right, what you guys need right now is truth. And, you know, the truth, the fact that, you know, we haven't earned the respect of some of the big boys in this division yet. And here's the fact, too. This is a bad week, just like you said, Jim. A bad week. We're coming off a really good month where we didn't even play our best baseball, where everything was clicking. We were finding ways to win because that's the kind of team we are. We haven't seen our best month yet. We're having a bad week, but we cannot let that creep into how we think about ourselves and how we think about each other. If we start going there, you all are going to have problems with me. Besides that, you guys have been going about it in a great way. You've been fighting. You've been playing hard. You've been doing the work. Stay at it. This is going to right itself. We're going to be better for it if we keep working.
Okay. That's the message that has to come from the manager. I guess we were discussing it last hour. I remembered a closed door meeting yet.
No.
Because is that having players only, closed door meeting?
Players only meeting, closed door meeting.
We had that pregame.
Dinner at Henry T's.
That pregame Tuesday. Is that where we get to that point?
I think so. Okay. I think that's where it is. I think we're in that kind of the mode, though, Josh, right now for one of those players only closed door meetings, because this last week was the worst possible scenario that you could have had. Coming into a homestand against your two division rivals that you have to beat in order to stay on top, and the teams that have kind of had your number over the last couple of years, and you absolutely laid an egg. And you went 28 or 29 straight innings without scoring a run. You went 31 innings without having a lead. And I think a lot of the excitement that was created in the month of April, a lot of fans probably, Josh, lost a lot of that excitement based on what they just saw at home.
Yeah.
It's one thing to do this on the West Coast at like late night games where nobody's paying attention.
You did it at home against a division foe that has owned you over the last couple of years, and you're hoping to chase down in the division, and you let them breeze right by you. It's just disappointing. A bit of Chiefs denial is going on right now. We need to get to next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.